This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
Good morning, DCR.
Got the number one pick and a Super Bowl champ with the man they can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's Lawrence Taylor!
I don't marry trash, DMT for short. Wonder if we best, why don't you peep the score? Sports Center Reed, gonna be top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise and shine with 98.7. This is Drive Time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Dave, Chris, and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
All right, here we go. Good Thursday morning. It is not the Wednesday that Dave hates. It is the Thursday. A lot to get into today. Start of the second half for the New York Knicks and the Brooklyn Nets tonight. I can't believe it's been a year since the sports world shut down with COVID-19. And they bring in Dave, whose internet again has let him down.
Hang on a second here. Okay, and good morning to you. My internet did nothing of the sort. It was an issue with the station's connection, and I'm to blame. You weren't here for the first, was it 30 minutes on Monday? 30 minutes?
28-ish.
Yeah, okay. I missed, what would you say, 12 to 25 seconds there for you?
Good 35-ish.
Was that a lot for you? When you found out that Dave's not going to be there, you got to ride this baby solo, were you like, oh my God, how am I going to deal with this?
Well, no one said it till the music was almost off.
Was there a panic? Was there a stress level?
Well, no, I see you pick up your phone. It's 5 o'clock in the morning. I'm like, there's no way Dave is making a phone call at 5 o'clock in the morning unless it's something bad.
What time are senior shopping hours? Yeah, no, you're right. I had a moment of, oh, my God, because I connected, and RJ's like, you can't be connected. We don't hear you. I'm like, it says on my machine, connected. So now I connected somewhere else, and I would have loved, and this is what I have to deal with every day. Every day, what you just dealt with for 30 seconds of leading the show, bringing us in, you know, running point, that's the norm for me.
But you're the host of the show. This is what you do. This is your role on the show, is to drive the show. You're the rudder of the show. This is like,
is
all of a sudden now you go.
Is rudder a positive term, though? Do you want to be the rudder?
Yes. You're control. I mean, you want to be the captain? Whatever.
Captain,
you're steering
like
the ship.
Captain of the ship, yeah.
Okay, you can be the captain. You're steering the ship. You're the skipper, okay? And I'm Gilligan. And all of a sudden now I got to step into Gilligan. Gilligan's got to step into skipper's role.
You didn't love that, did
two
you?
Two clown pirates.
You didn't love that. So, Canty not with us today. He's got his side piece today.
Yes.
He's on. So, you all have your side pieces, except for me. Except for I'm the only one truly, honestly committed to this very show.
What do you mean? You have two separate side pieces. You have the Rothenberg solo show, the Dave Rothenberg show, and then you get your Fugazi hockey show.
Yeah, I have other outlets, but my main purpose at this station is this show. Chris, you can't say that, right? You can't say that. He's not with us Thursdays because he does get up. So you can't say that this is his only priority. He prioritizes something else on Thursdays. And you prioritize Kay. The K show.
No, that's a different relationship.
No.
I mean, that's outside of working.
I think
that's
you are more committed to the K show than you are, in fact, to the show. Every time I watch the K show, every single time I watch the K show or listen to the K show, it's, I got a text from Rick DiPietro. Oh, look at this. I've received a text from Rick DiPietro. Oh, this is what Rick says. And it's amazing to me because I can text Michael during the course of the show and never once does it make it on air. You text Michael during the course of the show and it doesn't matter. Like, they could have Bob Costas on. And they could be in the midst of, so tell, he did that during the 98 season, Bob? That's unbelievable. And they'd be like, hang on a second, Bob. Went McGuire, you know, whatever, Sosa, put it to the back burner. Rick DiPietro's just chimed in, and he says this. It is unbelievable, the clout you carry with this man.
We have an inappropriate DiPietro text. Hold on one second, Bob.
They're all inappropriate. And I think the beautiful thing for you is, you don't have to be the filter. You see, if you're here and you're on this show, you have to be somewhat appropriate because if you say it and it's really awful, you're going to get in trouble. But on the K show, you say it, it's really awful, but now Michael is your filter. So you, I mean, you know your commitment level to that show is at a higher level than it is to this show. And,
no,
and
I disagree.
Think most would agree.
No, I disagree. I mean, this is I'm sitting down, I'm eating dinner, and I'm watching the K show.
What, do you have a 4-hour dinner?
No, I don't have a 4-hour dinner, but I mean, usually when I, if you notice, when I start, you know, texting him is usually around when the DPHOs are eating dinner.
So 4:35 o'clock. Understand this. You have dinner with the K show, and you're sitting there with your kids. How was your day? What's going on? What did Mrs. Smith have to say about your geography test? And you're just sitting there, not paying attention to them, and you're just focused on the Michael K show?
No, I'm not focused on the Michael K show. I mean, it's in the background. The kids like it. They know. I mean, this, they think it's the radio. That's what they call it. Oh, the radio's on. It's Michael K. They love the K show.
Who doesn't love the K show? That's not your.
That's the point.
You're missing the point.
Well, what is the point exactly?
The point is, Canty's commitment is elsewhere. Your commitment is elsewhere. I'm the only one who's fully all in committed to this very show.
And yet I'm the one that had to open up today's show.
Well, because there was
no
an
preparation.
Internet connection issue with the Comrex in the station.
See, I always found that.
As I got connected, I felt sorry for you. It was bland. It was boring. Like, no wonder they didn't ask you to host the hockey show. I heard something about the Nets was thrown in there. It was just, I felt like, thank God I got on as quickly as I did.
I was thinking the exact same thing. I almost shut my machine down. But that's what I struggle with the most. I'm not even joking to you. Like, so I've had the opportunity to host shows before. The first one was a train wreck because of what happened. I told you that was with Dan Graziano.
But that was outside of your own doings, right? I mean, there was like some bizarre,
yes,
know, topic.
But I knew
that,
I knew
that
going into that,
right before the show.
Yeah, but I knew going into that show that I was going to drive that show.
Yeah.
I was going to host that show. And I've done it a couple different times. I don't like it at all because the one thing I do struggle with is, and it used to drive me crazy, is how do I find a way to open the show? Like, there has to be a unique way to open. Like, every radio show has, the person that hosts it has kind of like their own unique way of opening their show. Like, you have your own unique way, Colin Cowell. Like, they all, Kay has his own way, and I could never come up with something that I liked to open up the show.
Mm-hmm. And that certainly didn't happen today, right?
No, I did. No. I'm not even joking. I almost considered shutting the machine down and pretending to just go in dark.
And what would happen?
I don't know.
Play commercials. When he's there, we'll do the show.
Would it be the first time that
no,
happened?
No, it would not. I've heard about that. All right, so lot to get into today. Observations. I found a great, I don't think it's a knob-worthy story, but a great story. I saw this last time. I was like, wow, this is wild. We'll get into that a little bit later. Maybe I'll bring it up prior to observations at 6:45. The great Buster only going to join us at 7 o'clock this morning. Today is what? March 11th, 2021. It's a year. A year to the day. Do you remember? We're in the 10 to 1 slot. That's
you never know.
Moved. 9 to 1. I remember being on the air. Now, is today the day that like the Big East tournament played the first half? Was it St. John's and maybe Creighton? And we were on the air saying, how are they shutting everything down?
I think it was the next, I think it was, would be the next day. I think it would be tomorrow.
Was March the 12th?
I mean, you ask me questions I don't have answers to.
Well, I thought today was the day that it all shut down, no? That a year ago to the day is the last that we saw sports for months and months and months.
Well, I know. Listen, I can tell you one thing for certain. This is the eve of a big day. We all realize that. I mean, if anyone should know exactly what happened on a certain day, it's you. I mean, this year we're on the verge of a Dave Rothenberg birthday.
Yeah, tomorrow's a big day. Do you have anything special planned?
Well, no, I'm not going to give it. Yeah, I mean, I've got something special planned, yeah. But I'm not going to tell you now.
I'm not looking
now.
For you to give it away. Just this, the fact that there is hopefully something special to be planned for my big birthday.
How could I not? I mean, 50 is a big one.
I'm not quite 50 yet, though.
Are we sure?
Yeah, I'm pretty confident. Unless I missed a couple. Yeah. That'd be terrible. Could you imagine if you woke up one day and you missed birthdays?
Well, I don't even feel like I told Cassie. I'm not even recognizing last birthday with what was going on.
Yeah, this is going to be my second birthday that's going to be pandemic ruined.
I know, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, that kind of stinks. But yeah, no, it was a year ago today that the whole thing shut down. And I mean, it's a year. It's so weird because I feel like this has been the longest year and the quickest year. And I could see both arguments. Like, this year has flown by, but this year felt like it dragged in a certain way also, doesn't it?
I don't know about that. I mean, it feels like it, but it's the same thing I say about, you know, when you have kids, the first thing I was told is the days feel like they take forever,
yes.
But the years fly
yes.
by. That's how it feels. Like, trying to get through the days is not easy, but then all of a sudden, you know, we're here today doing the show, and it's been a year.
Can you believe that we didn't? I mean, when did sports come back? What was the first? Like, remember we had those weird tennis matches where they'd be like in the middle of the jungle, and then I guess soccer came back a little bit. But what?
it was in like Lake Buena Vista, like
it was
like
weird,
condominiums.
Though. It was weird because it wasn't like right next to the condos. It was like just a court that was over on its own side, and they had them, and it was like the official who was, you know, 6 feet sitting in the air in the high chair. And you didn't have ball boys or anything. It was very, very strange. You had that and like third level tennis professionals. But what was it? Was it baseball? Was the first real thing to come back?
Was baseball the first real thing to come back? I don't know. Didn't we get in this conversation? I mean, that was the whole conversation, right? Was that the sooner, like, this was an opportunity for baseball to be the first back?
Mm-hmm.
And they just kept dragging it on and on and on.
They took forever. They totally screwed it up. Baseball came back, like, I think it was like July 20th. So we went, you know what's amazing? Because this is me. I don't know if you have this as well. Like, bad things, they happen. And it's awful. And then when you get past them, you never remember how awful, in fact, it was. Like, we went, what, half of March, April, May, June, and half of July. So we went really like four or five full months, Rick. With nothing sports related, no games, nothing to discuss.
Well, no, I mean, we still had good shows. I mean, that was the amazing part, was we were putting shows. I mean, we were putting 3-hour shows together. I don't even know if it might have been 2-hour shows together with nothing.
No, it's three.
With no sports happening at all.
3 full hour shows with no sports happening.
This was almost the equivalent. Like, this is the sports equivalent of when your wife gives birth and then can't wait to have another one. And you're like, did you not just remember what, like, I just watched what happened.
Yeah.
You want to do that again?
That's right. But I think when things are really bad, sometimes you forget how bad, in fact, they were. And you're just like, well, you know, let's do that again. Do you not remember? It's like whenever I go to lift something now, Cher's like, don't. You're back. I'm like, no, I'll be fine. She's like, do you remember the excruciating pain that you were in before you had your surgery? She's like, no, it'll be fine. Because I think we forget sometimes when things are just that awful. And we had no sports for 5 months.
Yeah, we had nothing. I mean, it was depressing. It really was. And I think, I mean, for me personally, I think, you know, sports fans in general, I mean, you took it for granted that you could turn on the TV whenever you wanted and watch live sports. And then all of a sudden you didn't have it. And how much, like, I mean, just remember after that, like the first couple weeks, you're like, oh my God, is this, are we serious now? We have nothing to watch? And you're going through every streaming, Netflix, whatever
right.
it is, trying to find shows to binge.
Everything. I get a great tweet from Hinky Haynes. It was bad when we were watching and analyzing Korean baseball at all hours of the day and the night.
I did like the KBO, though. Why is it? Here's a good question for you, Dave. I, you know, obviously get drafted by the Islanders, buy a house, commit full in, you know, all in. I'm going to be a New York sports fan and everything else. I picked the Mets, who, I mean,
it's not such an awful selection.
The Knicks.
Yeah, that's not so good.
The Jets.
That has not been a great selection yet.
And yet, you know, KBO... haven't even watched the game, and I pick the Dinos who win the championship. How's that possible?
Yeah, I don't know. It's not great. Not great selection process. If you could go back now, would you adjust your teams?
No,
or you're so locked in that you couldn't even envision adjusting them.
Dialed in. You should have seen me last night.
I still don't understand how you were like in your 20s before you adopted professional teams.
I was never in a place long enough to adopt a team.
But you're
from
Boston.
I would
just think
I'm not from
Boston. And you're a Red Sox fan.
I'm not from Boston, though. I was born in Maine, moved to Boston, moved to Chicago, back to Boston, then to Michigan, and then to New York.
But how old were you when you lived in Boston?
I lived in Boston twice. I mean, I was young.
So the first time in Boston, how old?
It was when my brother was born. So my brother, we're 3.5 years apart. So I was probably, I don't know, like four.
Four till when?
Four to maybe, but it's probably 2 years, two
so
or three
four
years.
To six, yeah, I guess that's probably when you're starting to form that bond with those teams. And then you went from Boston to Chicago at six.
Well, maybe less than that. No, because I can remember in '86 when the Mets won. I remember actually watching the World Series in Chicago.
Okay, so you weren't
so
in
I was already
Boston
in Chicago.
For that. And then you're Chicago from six to when?
Six till I moved back to Boston, 9 or 10.
And then Boston.
I was 15.
The redo. See, I'm surprised there you didn't become a Boston sports fan. I'm surprised 9 to 15 you did not become everything Boston.
Yeah, but at that point, I hadn't adopted a team, so I was adopting players. Like I told you, I loved Jody Reed. I loved Andy Moog. Like, I loved Andy Moog, dude. Like, I had every piece of equipment, like from top to bottom, was all Andy Moog, like exactly like Andy Moog. I had the helmet. My dad bought me the first one. They finally came out with the real goalie helmets that you see now. That was all I wanted, but they were super expensive. And my dad, like, I finally talked him into getting me one, and it was a gorgeous helmet. Had it painted just like Andy Moog's mask. It was until, of course, I had the one game, and I'm a young kid. I'm probably at that time, maybe 11 years old. So I wear this fancy new helmet. It had this panther on it with the mouth open. It was gorgeous. Had a bad game. The coach comes in the locker room. I'm 11 years old. And like grabs the helmet and slams it on the ground. Good thing he got this fancy helmet. Didn't do bleep for you tonight. And like slams it. Oh, yeah. Destroyed me. Destroyed me in front of the entire team.
This says a lot.
You wonder why I'm a mess.
Was that worse, that or your dad holding his nose when you allowed a goal?
Dad, I mean, it's your dad. Your dad holding your nose.
How old were you?
From the time I can remember playing hockey,
So when you were like 5 years old, you'd let a bad goal in and you'd look up to the crowd and your dad would be holding his nose?
Five, probably not as early as five. Just because I mean, that was, yes, definitely seven.
Oh my God, really?
Oh yeah.
And that was his thing? Like that was the staple? Like you allowed a bad goal and you'd look up holding his nose?
That, and it was even worse. Like when he would, if I was playing well, he'd stand up the entire game, and he'd always stand away from parents, so I would always see where he was. He would stand up, and then as soon as I let in a bad one or I wasn't playing good, he would sit down, which so was the sign that you stink.
Your entire knowledge of whether your dad liked the way you were playing or not was whether he was standing good, sitting down, bad.
Exactly right. Or then all of a sudden, if it was really bad, he gave you the two fingers on the nose, you stink.
Oh, so if he's sitting with fingers over the nose, now you know it. You are. Yeah, at the depths of how bad it can get.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts. This is DCR.
All right, here we go. Good Thursday morning. It is not the Wednesday that Dave hates. It is the Thursday. A lot to get into today. Start of the second half for the New York Knicks and the Brooklyn Nets tonight.
You weren't here for the first 30 minutes on Monday?
28-ish.
I missed 12 to 25 seconds there for you. Was there a panic?
Well, no, I see you pick up your phone. It's 5 o'clock in the morning. Like, there's no way Dave is making a phone call at 5 o'clock in the morning unless it's something bad. You're the skipper, and I'm Gilligan.
The skipper wanted me to be skipper. If anything happened to the skipper.
As I got connected, I felt sorry for you. It was bland. It was boring. Like, no wonder they didn't ask you to host the hockey show. Thank God I got on as quickly as I did.
I was thinking the exact same thing. I'm going to shut my machine down. I'm just going dark.
This is DCR on 98.7 ESPN.
Just sit right back and you'll hear a tale of a fateful trip that started
by the way,
from
I didn't even recognize how great your little open was there until I dialed in. You sounded like it was the last place on earth that you wanted to be. All right. Good morning.
I was hoping I could kill enough time that you just pop in and save me.
It's Thursday, not the Wednesday.
I turned into Jerry Seinfeld for a second.
Oh, that was terrific. See, I feel validated in like being the skipper on the show, having listened to that. I feel good about myself.
Dave, it's tough to get up from that. We're going to have to erase that immediately. Like, once the show is over, that has to go.
No.
RJ,
because I know what'll happen. When we come back in studio, he will try to figure out a way to delete that from the system. You have a backup. You have a backup to the backup. Can we hear that again?
No.
That little open.
All right, here we go. Good Thursday morning. It is not the Wednesday that Dave hates. It is the Thursday. A lot to get into today. Start of the second half for the New York Knicks and the Brooklyn Nets tonight. Good Thursday morning.
That's so bad.
I love it. Good Thursday morning. It is not Wednesday. It is Thursday.
It's not the Wednesday.
It's not the Wednesday. It's Thursday.
Good Thursday morning.
It's so bad.
Oh God. Oh, that is terrific. Thank God my machine went down for that little gem, that little nugget.
Listen, this was.
Oh, my
that
God.
Was like seeing you on the phone and then all of a sudden, like halfway through the open, RJ coming on and saying, hey, you're gonna have to open this up. Dave will be back in 30 seconds was the equivalent to, you know, when you're at some place like a store or something with your kids and then all of a sudden you turn and your kid's not standing next to you anymore.
Yeah. Yes.
That was the feeling I had. That is the exact feeling I have.
You know what that's like? It's like you ever go to a game? Well, you wouldn't have this because you can do it. But you go to a game and just the athlete stinks, and you're like, I could do that. I can go out there and do that. We used to go to the U.S. Open when I was a kid, and I was a good tennis player, but obviously not at that level. Never was at that level. And I used to watch like somebody play Jimmy Connors and lose 6-1, 6-love, 6-1, and turn to my dad and say, Dad, this guy, he stinks. He's awful. Why would they not let me out there? That's what that sounded like. Good morning.
I was terrified. I'm not going to lie. I will tell you this. Like, there is nothing you could ask me to do athletically that I would say I couldn't do or was scared to do. Like, I would pretty much do anything and think I'd be good at it. That, I knew for a fact going in, I was not, going to be good
at. It's Thursday. It's not Wednesday. It, in fact, is Thursday. All right, time for Straight Talk. Great. Brought to you, we'll run through some things. Brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. We'll run through some things. The Knicks and Nets start the second half of their seasons tonight. All right, so Stephen A. had this to say, and I think he's right. And we'll hear from – let's take a listen to Stephen A. As a matter of fact, he was on Bart and Hahn yesterday. They're on from 12 to 2 every weekday on 98.7 ESPN. Let's take a listen to that, and then we'll react off of it on the Knicks and the Nets and what makes for a successful season for each.
If the New York Knicks make it to the first round of the playoffs, but the Nets don't make it to the finals, the Knicks will actually have had a more successful season than the Brooklyn Nets.
Now, I know that Stephen A. can be hot take-ish at times and say things that you hear and you're like, come on, he doesn't believe that, and that's not true. I think he's right. With the expectations right now with both of these teams and heading into the season, I absolutely think that if the Knicks get into a series, not they're the 10 seed and they lose the one game and they don't get in, but get into a best-of-seven-game series, they've had a more successful season than if the Nets do not make it to the NBA Finals, at a minimum.
You would be more surprised if the Knicks... Yeah, I would agree with the fact that, I mean, with where the expectations were at when the season started, you'd be more surprised if the Knicks actually ended up making it to a legitimate playoff series. But I wouldn't consider the Nets season a failure if they don't win the NBA Finals.
No.
If they don't get to the
NBA... I consider this to... See, failure, I don't know. I'll say this. I'll say disappointment if they don't go to the NBA Finals.
No, listen. I said if they don't win the NBA Finals.
Yeah, no. Winning the NBA Finals, different. But you have to... I mean, you have to get there now if you're Brooklyn.
They have to win the East.
Have to.
But, I mean, if they get, like, Miami's big three. I mean, they win 58 games during the regular season. They lost in the finals. Now, they were upset because LeBron did the whole, we're going to win, you know, not four, not five, not six. Like, I mean, the expectations for that team couldn't have been higher.
And they ended up talking about when they lost to Dallas?
Yeah, that first year of the big three.
And that was awful, too, because they were better, and B, they played awful.
But again, I mean, it's the first year of a new team. I mean, you're also talking like the Nets. Listen, I mean, Durant isn't going to be back in the near future. Like, he's going to have another scan next week, and then they're going to try to ramp him up to get him back and keep him back in the lineup. They just added Blake Griffin. So it's, I mean, you're just hoping that they're all healthy and there's actually some consistency with the lineup, some continuity, like they get to know each other before they get into the postseason. But even if they don't, we all feel like that there's enough talent that they'll end up in the Eastern Conference Finals. But, I mean, if they're in the Eastern Conference Finals against LeBron James with a healthy Anthony Davis and whatever the Lakers decide to do.
You're talking about the NBA Finals.
The NBA Finals.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't – you'd be disappointed if you were a Nets fan, but –
You're not going to
consider your season a failure.
No, but anything short. So here's the question for you. Is it a failure right now? If the Nets don't go to the NBA Finals, win the East, is that a failed season for them this year?
Yes.
Failed. And that's a strong word.
I think it's a
word.
Failed season. Yeah, I think it's a fail. For them, it'd be a failed season. Like if they got to the NBA Finals and lost, you would still feel like, okay, over the next year or two, the Nets are most likely going to win an NBA championship.
Yes.
But if all of a sudden they get, you know, for some reason, you know, can't figure out what to do with Joel Embiid or whoever ends up being in the Eastern Conference Finals and they lose that, yeah, I would. I'm sure every Nets fan would say that's probably a failure.
Yeah. I think that's fair. And I think that the Knicks are, I don't want to say playing with house money at this point, but the Knicks have given you something you didn't even anticipate this year. The Knicks gave you a first half of this regular season where they were entertaining, they were fun, they played well, they got as much out of the talent as they possibly could. Like, the Knicks have already given you a lot this season.
Yeah, but time out, though. I mean, you say that now, when they're 19-18, and we all love the fact that they won, you know, won that last game against Detroit headed into the All-Star break.
Right.
But this is very similar to how you felt about your New York Giants last year, too. right? Oh, they're playing relevant football. And then how it ended changed how you felt about the entire season.
What,
like, you were feeling great for
right.
a minute. Like, if this
you
thing
adjust
falls
your
apart,
expectations as the season goes on, I think that that's fair. You change them based on what you've seen so far.
I don't listen. I trust the coaching staff, but I mean, Thibs' teams do have the tendency, because he plays, you know, a guy like Julius Randle and R.J. Barrett, they're playing lots of minutes, especially Julius Randle, that if they don't make a move to bring in, say, you know, Victor Oladipo, whoever it ends up being, like, they could wear down. And when you look at their schedule, I mean, not only coming out of the break, they got the West Coast trip late in the season. Like, it's going to be daunting. All I'm saying is that as good as you feel now, if God forbid, knock on wood, this doesn't happen, but, you know, wheels fall off and they end up finishing 11th. That'll change how you feel about the season.
Yes, but I think you've already gotten more than you ever anticipated. You're right. It will. But they, I mean, Rick, we're 19 and 18. We're talking about a team that's a playoff caliber team. I mean, you see growth from the young guys. You look at Julius Randle and look at him as a building block. You're impressed with what you've seen from R.J. Barrett year two. So you're right. You are. I mean, if they don't get to at least the top 10 and don't play for a game to have a chance at the postseason, you'd be disappointed. But you've already seen that growth from the Knicks this year so far.
You've seen that growth. And listen, I mean, I was the one that was initially on the boat. And Omar and I had to drag you onto the boat. I'm emotionally invested in this team.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I really enjoy, like, I actually miss not having Knicks games to watch at night. So I'm excited.
Well, you get one tonight.
Game. Exactly right. All I'm saying, though, is that's the first half of an NBA season where you're coming out of, you know, the pandemic with the bubble. You know, some teams were in the bubble, some teams weren't in the bubble, and we know the NBA regular season really doesn't mean that much. So how seriously are they taking the first half of the season? Like, I'm happy they're 19 and 18, but I do see when you look at the second half and all of a sudden, you know, teams are really locking it in and trying to, you know, make that push for seeding and getting to the postseason, that this is going to be a whole different kind of basketball.
It is going to be a different animal. I completely agree with you.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
God, it's not Wednesday, and in fact, it is Thursday, the day before my birthday. Big birthday tomorrow. Very excited.
I have never been more uncomfortable than in that moment.
So you were the number one pick in the draft. I mean, internationally, you had tremendous fame. You played on the biggest stages that the world has to offer. The Olympics, I mean, walked in the opening ceremony of the Olympic Games, and never were you more nervous than you were at 5 o'clock this morning when you had to open up the show. By
I'm on Burgundy?
Yeah, the second that music stopped, nothing. Had nothing to say. Zero. No
you
energy.
You did. You had
that was nothing. That was
beautiful.
Awful.
We'll get to the Yankees in a second. Can we just hear the open again, like the 20 seconds that we had of Rick Santy?
Such a bad guy.
Oh, it was so wonderful.
All right, here we go. Good Thursday morning. It is not the Wednesday that Dave hates. It is the Thursday. A lot to get into today. Start of the second half for the New York Knicks and the Brooklyn Nets tonight.
That was it. I mean, it was like 14 seconds. You were for 14 seconds. You couldn't have been more uncomfortable. It was so... All right, here we go. Good Thursday morning. Not Wednesday that Dave hates. Good Thursday. Second half of the Knicks and the Nets. That's it. That's all there was.
No, that's all I needed. But you could hear, like, the second I came on, it sounded like I was going to have some energy. And then I was like, this is so bad that it just completely went downhill from there. It is not the Wednesday that Dave hates. It is the Thursday.
It's so good. It is so good. I could listen to it on a loop.
Good
on
Thursday morning.
On a loop. All right. Here we go. All right. So let's... Oh, it's so good. Let's get into the Yankees for a minute. Stanton looks pretty good, doesn't he? I mean, early on so far this spring, he looks really good.
Nah, he looks great. I mean, this is a continuation of what you saw in the postseason, too. I mean, the biggest thing with him is keeping him healthy. And that's really what it comes down to. I mean, it's been the story with this Yankees team. It's been Aaron Judge has been hurt. I mean, how do you like Aaron Judge's new teeth, by the way? You a fan or no?
I think they're fine. No?
No, I like them. No, I got no problem with them.
I think it looks okay.
Yeah, why not? You might as well upgrade him. You can afford to do it now.
They look fancy, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, isn't it's a nice full set of new chompers he's got going. They look good.
Yeah.
Sanchez looks good. I mean, this is We keep talking about, you know, the different things that could go wrong with the Yankees. I think, you know, obviously health is at the top of that list. You know, questions about the starting rotation. I mean, there's tons of depth. Now you lose Britton. But, I mean, this is a team that's built around their offense. And early on in the season, that most likely going to have to be carried by your offense.
Yes. But you look at that offense, I mean, with LeMahieu and Judge and Torres and Frazier, and I mean, you can go up and down this lineup, and Stanton. I mean, they have a ton of talent offensively. My big question is, can Stanton stay healthy? And I think that's a legitimately fair question to have, because the truth of the matter is, since he's been with the Yankees, the answer more often than not has been no.
No, it's been no. And that, unfortunately for him, I mean, he hasn't, you know, he hasn't been at the level he was at when the Yankees traded for him. I mean, you're talking about a guy who...
He was coming off, what, 57 home runs?
No, I think more than that. He had 59 home runs.
59, right.
So, and he's, I mean, he's the National League MVP. And, you know, now he's at a point with the Yankees where it's been a disappointment. It has. And he's a guy that you can't put in the outfield. He's going to, you know, be your DH, which has hurt you. I mean, in all honesty, it has hurt you as far as what you're able to do with that lineup.
Flexibility diminishes greatly with Stanton there.
Yeah, well, I mean, your lineup and financially what you can do. So, I mean, there are high expectations for Giancarlo Stanton.
Yes. All right, let's take a listen. Here is the manager who amazingly is back so quickly from that pacemaker surgery. But here is Aaron Boone. What can Stanton accomplish if he's healthy this season?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't want to put a limit on what he's done, what he's capable of. Again, I just feel like he's such a more evolved player. In just his focus, his process, his plan, his understanding of what he needs to do to be successful up there, what opposing pitchers are trying to do. And I just feel like he hasn't been on the field to let that growth I feel like he's had as a player and as a hitter kind of manifest itself. We saw it in short spurts, obviously, last year to start the season, where he got off to a great start before getting injured, and then obviously what he was able to do in the postseason. I think that's what he's capable of.
That's been the biggest problem, though, Dave, I think, with this team in general, is because they're always, I mean, they're, you know, guys like Stanton, guys like Judge. I mean, you heard Aaron Boone just kind of allude to it. He gets off to a good start, then he gets hurt.
But so it's now, every year. I mean, if he's healthy, he's going to go 35-120. Like, if he played 150 games, he would go 35-120 at a minimum. But the question is he going to be healthy?
Exactly right. But, I mean, as an athlete, so, you know, you go through, you know, your off season, you get into training camp or spring training, whatever it is, and, you know, you're refining things. You're working on different things. And as far as Stanton's doing, he's, you know, trying to time pitches, all those different little things that he's keying in on, gets off to a good start. Now he gets hurt. So now, rather than continuing with the progress that he's already made, now he's got to stop. He's got to rehab the injury, and that's his focus now, is rehab. So once he gets back and he's healthy, now he's got to go back to square one and ramp himself up to where he was. So there's no, I mean, there's never that chance for him to get on an extended roll. You know what I mean? And then all of a sudden, because of the timing of some of these injuries, is, rather than head into the postseason, you know, at your best, because, you know, you've had this, you know, this season where you're progressively getting better, because it's been stop and start, stop and start, stop and start, is now, you know, you're still not where you need to be for the postseason. So you're not at your best in the postseason. Stanton was last year, which was great.
Yep.
But that hasn't been the case with the Yankees.
Which makes it difficult. And listen, the regular season for the Yankees almost feels Nets-esque to me, where you're going to get in. You know you're going to get in. Odds are distinctly in your advantage that you're going to win this division, because Tampa, I think, took a definite step back. The big question is, what are you going to do in the postseason? Doesn't matter if the Yankees win 110 games in the regular season. If they don't a minimum, Rick, go to the World Series, people will look at this and say they underachieved.
Well, yeah. I mean, because, I mean, with what you see on the field, talent-wise, I mean, and then you look at the landscape of the American League, you would expect them to be the team that comes out of the American League.
They have
and,
to be.
Well, we keep waiting. I mean, it's just, what I mean, and I also feel like what puts extra pressure on the Yankees is, you know, how Brian Cashman and Hal do business now. Like, you heard Canty the other day. Like, it bothers Canty that they don't just throw money at, at certain things to, like, Britain goes down, okay, we'll throw some money at it. Well, whatever it takes, whatever it costs. That's how Yankees fans are used to doing business. And that's not the case. And they haven't won. No. I mean, they haven't.
It's different.
And they haven't won a championship.
And they haven't been to the ultimate, you know, place either for a decade. I mean, they haven't been there since 2009. So we're 12 years. It's a long time for the Yankee fan. As much as we can make fun of them and poke at them, that's a long time for this organization. I mean, the longest that they've had. You mentioned Zach Britton. Here he is on his injury. And
a long time ago, Scott Boras told me the best attribute of a player is durability, right? So being able to be out on the field, doesn't matter how much talent you have, but if you can't make it on the field, then you're not helping your team. So it's disappointing that I'm not going to be there to start the year. But like I said, this is the best way for me to get with the guys this season and pitch at a high level and, you know, make a big impact. You know, I'm still planning on making a good amount of appearances for the club and making a big impact.
And the truth of the matter is, as much as you'll miss him for the first 3 months, whatever it's going to be, if you have a healthy Zach Britton down the stretch and for the postseason, that's what you need.
It's exactly what you need. And when he's back and whenever that ends up being, I mean, you're going to need him for the most important part of your season, but it also gives you the opportunity now in the first couple months of the season to, you know, to try different guys out and see who steps up. Because you're going to need Aaron Boone was light on guys he trusted in the bullpen last year, and that cost him.
Like he, in the postseason, you know, yes.
In the postseason.
He trusted three guys. That was it.
That was it. So if because Britton's now out, you know, all of a sudden, you know, one or two guys emerge that, you know, Aaron Boone feels like he can go to in tight spots, that's only going to help the Yankees.
When do we get this call? At what point this season? When Ottavino pitches really well for Boston? I can't believe we traded Ottavino. We could use him in the bullpen right now. Won't be long.
Of course you'll get the call. I mean, you're going to obviously get that call because, I mean, every fan makes those calls. Like, you hate him when he's on your team because he stinks. You know, he can't keep, you know, he can't hold runners on and he's just not good anymore. And then all of a sudden he gets traded to, of all teams, the Boston Red Sox. If he pitches lights off of Boston, I mean,
Yankees
we'll get phone calls for sure.
Absolutely lose their mind. All right, save big during O'Reilly Auto Parts Power Torque Tools DIY Day Sale. That's not easy to say. With great deals on socket sets, power tools, and more. If you're a do-it-yourselfer, you need the right tools for the job, and this is your opportunity. Right now, get $10 off a 200-piece mechanics tool set, plus double O'Rewards points. That means you'll get your next reward even faster. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit O'ReillyAuto.com. So we've made fun of you, and rightfully so, for the open of the show. But before we go to observations, I want to give you a little bit of defense. And here's Mike in the truck that would like to do that. Good morning, Mike.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Good.
First time, long time. You guys have been getting me through this pandemic. I've been working this whole time. And I just had to come to Rich defense. And Dave, you really got to step up your game when it comes to working out. I'm up at 3 o'clock in the morning working 12-hour days, working out prior to going into work every single morning. And I get where Rich coming from. He doesn't want to impose what he does working out on his family. And I get that. And I get what Rich's saying when he says he has to wake up to do
I thought you were going to stick up for him. I thought you were going to stick up for his open to the show.
No, fantastic.
He doesn't need
Mike
sticking up for as far as nobody's ever given you a hard time for your lack of workout. I mean, you're a workout warrior. We know that. We commend you all the time.
Mike, it was
yeah, but Dave, I mean, I kind of feel that sometimes you just don't understand where Rich is coming from.
And
I kind of felt that. Like, you don't understand where Rich is coming from when he has to work out no matter what.
I understand. I was trying to be kind is what I was trying to do to you. I respect the fact that you get out of bed at 2 o'clock in the morning to work out when you don't have to. How is that looked at as a negative?
You.
I don't understand.
People can feel it. I mean, it's how you project your feelings onto me.
Unbelievable.
And you sabotaged me this morning.
Oh, I'll do it again, too. Here's a question for you. If Canty was actually here today and showed up for work on a Thursday and my machine was not working, would you have said, Canty, you take it?
I would depend on what RJ wanted to do. I mean, Canty's driven before, too. And neither of us like to drive. It's so stressful, man. Like, I couldn't even, like, when I would drive shows, you can't even, like, I couldn't even eat during the show. Too much to get into today. Too much for the reads, formatics. I just, break. Yeah, you gotta tease things.
I'm an excellent driver. Of course, today's Monday. I always drive the car on Saturday. I never drive on a Monday.
Time out, by the way. Oh, I didn't even remember this. I hosted a national show.
Did you?
Yes, I hosted The Locker Room on Sundays.
Had it, You were the primary host of the show?
I was the host.
How stressful was that?
Oh, it was the worst. With no one in studio. This was with no one in studio. It was me by myself in the studio with Antoine Walker was at his house doing it, at his house or his studio doing it. And I had one of the other guys was in L.A.
Love it. I love the stress that this provides for you. DCR presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $750 on average. All right, time for you to drive yourself right into Nobservation.
Rick DiPietro consumes more media than anyone on this planet.
Great point, Rick. It's another genius point by you.
And these are his Nobservations. Could have called it Rick's Observations, but you know, it's Rick we're dealing with here.
Yeah, let's go testy and then knob.
Here's your host, Rick DiPietro.
All right, here we go, fellas, or fella. Thursday edition of Nobservations. And if we have time, because Dave ate most of the segment, we'll get into Did It Happen in Florida?
Yeah, you have 7 minutes. I mean, how much time could you possibly need? Go, please.
I spend the whole week. Just a couple quick ones to touch on. I know you've seen the stories. We didn't get a chance to talk about them. First one is, Dave, I wanted to get your opinion on it. I kind of have an idea of how you feel about it. The Myers-Leonard story. I mean, I actually watched the clip, and I almost couldn't believe that came out of his mouth.
Well, a couple things on it. First of all, I can't believe you could be so stupid. Like, even if you're dumb enough to use language like that, to use it on a public forum is kind of shocking to me. And secondly, can we stop? Because now this has become the excuse for everybody. When you make an epithet, be it racial or whatever the case may be, now it's, I had no idea what that meant. Then, well, why would you say it? Do you go around using words that you're not familiar with? No, nobody does that. So, listen, do I think he deserves a second chance? Yes. Do I think that we should forgive him at some point? Yes. But I'd like him to take ownership and to figure out a way to be better moving forward.
Yeah, but even if you didn't know what the word actually meant.
Well, why would you use it then?
But he knew exactly how to, like, he knew what the word was meant. Like, he may not know, like, he knew exactly how to use it. Like, how he said it was, like, he didn't know what it meant, which I have a hard time believing.
Right.
Because that isn't a word that just pops, like...
And he was very comfortable saying it, too.
Yeah, on a public forum, while he's streaming this game.
Yeah, I don't know. A, it's just dumb to do. B, it's just, it's mean and cruel, and I don't know why anybody would do that. And you know what? Truthfully, when something bad happens, and all of a sudden now your first thought is, let me say something like that, it shows what kind of a guy you are. It's a really bad look. It's very unfortunate.
Yeah, I mean, he has, like... Dave, he has almost like 70,000 followers on Twitch. Like 70,000 people.
It's shocking. It really is. It's just so stupid that you would be on that public forum and say something like that is incredible to me. That you wouldn't be better schooled. Even if you say that stuff. But to do it like that is just...
But you know he said it before, though. That's the thing, though. And then that Fugazi apology.
Of course. Of course.
And then the other one, quickly, we got some audio from it. This is... you saw the Johnny Damon video?
Yeah. Oof, terrible.
So here's some of the audio from the arrest.
Hey, shut your door! Shut your door! Shut your door!
Okay.
Shut the door!
What the...
Signal 44. Hey, back in the car!
Huh? What's happening?
Get back in the car!
That was, I mean, I don't know how he, seriously, watching him in that video.
So drunk.
How do you make the decision to get behind the wheel?
Well, and again, we talk about, you think this was the first time? There's no way that was the first time. And his wife is so just,
belligerent.
What is happening? Your husband is dropped on the floor drunk. What do you mean, what is happening?
Well, did you see her? I mean, she was no better.
No, I think she was worse.
So, I mean, there are so many different ways to get home. And you decide to make that decision. And then handle being pulled over the way that you, like, you put that cop in an awful spot.
Yeah, I mean, she was belligerent. She got into the cop's face. Who gets out of the car? Have you ever once been pulled over by a cop where you just jump out of the car and go after the police officer?
No, I do exactly what they tell me to do. Never.
Never.
All right, here we go. This is going to be right up Ray Santiago's alley because he loves him some Dak. You can say what you want about Dak. I mean, what kind of quarterback he is. As far as his leadership qualities, him in front of a microphone for a press conference, dude, I mean, the guy knows exactly what he's doing. I can see why his teammates love him. But before we get to that sound, because Ray mentioned it yesterday, I'd like to welcome to the stage one Dakota Rain.
mask. Such a good name. That'd be my stripper name.
Dakota. Is it Dakota Rain or Rain Dakota, Santy?
It's Rain Dakota.
Rain?
Semantics.
So
I don't like Rain Dakota as much as Dakota Rain.
On his birth certificate, his name is Rain?
R-A-Y-N-E.
Oh, all right.
I think he's part Native American, so his mother went there.
Okay. All right. Yeah, no, that is a stripper name.
But I would go Dakota Rain instead of Rain Dakota. Yeah. I like Dakota Rain.
And then you make it rain? I mean, there's so many ways to go with that.
Oh, I didn't even think about that.
No, come on. Are you serious?
That, I mean, that's... You're a Sniffer's Row kind of guy. I mean, that's where you live.
I mean, I've once or twice have been to an adult establishment.
Yeah, once or twice.
Yeah.
I actually took an equipment manager to one of those places, to a strip club before. And he got right on, like, he's right up at Sniffer's Row. And
Sniffer's Row.
And we were all at a table behind him. And he's like, just listen, I'll show you guys how to do this. I come to these places all the time. So he's sitting up there, and the girls are dancing. And he's not putting any dollar bills up. So I was like, finally I walked up there. I said, what are you doing? I thought you were going to, like, show us how to do this. He's like, wait on it. Just wait on it. And then all of a sudden, like 3 minutes later, they're like, okay, want to announce we're doing 2-for-1 specials. You know,
and then that was it.
That was now, off. Now all of a sudden all the money was coming out.
First time I ever went, and we'll get to your next story in a moment. Like, I'm in there for 30 seconds, and I turned to my buddy. I was like, I think I'm in love. I'm pretty sure I've completely fallen in love. Yeah.
They do such a good job.
Oh,
you really
feel
that way.
Yeah.
I'll meet you afterwards? No. No, I won't.
Never see you again.
Let's listen to what Dak had to say as far as the expectations for himself and the Dallas Cowboys moving forward.
Eagerness, excitement, anxiousness to give this organization and the Jones family everything that they invested in. And that's a Super Bowl, and that's to go win. Pressure is privilege, and I'm privileged to have it. I'm privileged that this organization, they believe in me. They put their faith in me. But as I said, if you know me, you know who I am. I walk every day with the faith and what I believe in, and my expectations are so, so high. I believe my expectations for myself are higher than anybody's out there.
That is a man that, A, is very comfortable in front of a microphone, and B, is easy to root for. I don't like the Cowboys, so by proxy, I can't root for Dak Prescott. But if you don't care, if you don't have skin in the game, he's a very easy guy to wish success for and on.
No, I mean, you can't help but root for him, especially with everything he's gone through in his life and then with the injury. All right, here we go. Did it happen in Florida?
Anytime.
A man's naked behavior outside of his South Florida home, all caught on camera.
Caught on camera in Florida.
Did it happen in Florida?
That was a man in swim trunks who appeared to fall out of the sky.
Man was arrested for riding his bicycle on the front lawn of a Naples home and telling a woman inside he was an FBI agent.
What's the deal, man? Why are you naked?
I actually like the open. The open's my favorite part of
Did
the whole segment.
Did you see, by the way, I can't imagine you have it there, the naked cowboy got arrested in Florida?
There's a naked cowboy in Florida now?
No. The New York version of the naked cowboy went down to Florida and did his act down there and got arrested for it.
Of all places, he gets arrested in Florida for doing that?
That went too far in the state of Florida, yes.
That's too far in Florida,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah, exactly.
Interesting. All right, here we go.
Naked cowboy in Florida now?
Did this happen? Well, you said naked. I was actually thinking, like, fully naked.
No, the naked cowboy.
Well, I know when you say that. I mean, because you said Florida, my mind went straight, like, he's actually fully naked. Like, he's not wearing any underwear.
No, that would be the next step for Florida, though.
All right, here we go. Did this happen in Florida? Following the closure. God. Ugh.
What a day.
Following the closure of his local movie rental store, man decided that what would he do during the pandemic? How would he make some upgrades around the house? No, he would actually build his own video rental store in his basement. There's actually a viral TikTok, which is a video of the actual, you know, space that he built. It's been viewed. This is published on Tuesday. It already has 300,000 likes. And that was on Wednesday afternoon. So it's built like the 90s, you know, 90s blockbuster.
That's
he
great.
Actually, my favorite part is he actually has a porn section in the video store.
Well, this can't be legal, by the way.
Why is it not legal? It's his own videos.
It's his, but aren't these are movies? No.
Yeah, but they're his movies. He didn't steal the movies. The local store, video store, sold the shelves, was selling the shelves. So he bought the shelves, and he built his own version of a...
That is wonderful. I mean, maybe it is. I don't know if that's legal or not, but that's a wonderful story. By the way, who goes to a video store?
That's another. That's why I thought it was an interesting story. The fact that he's still going to a video store.
I love the fact that he was so. I mean, when was the last time you went to a video store?
No, I can't even tell you.
Exactly.
I don't even. I wouldn't even know. I don't think there's any.
No,
video
they don't
stores
exist
around.
Except for this guy's basement. All right. So you want to know if that's Florida? Could be. But I'm going to say no. I'm going to say it's some like obscure city elsewhere in the United States.
God, Santiago, Florida.
I feel like if it is Florida, it would be some just like place way out in the boonies where this guy, you know, thinks, oh, this Netflix, this online, this will never take. Video stores are where it's at. we're gonna roar back. So I'll say not Florida, but maybe the Midwest somewhere.
Oh God, you guys are good. That was not Florida. That's in Oregon.
In Oregon. Story,
God, you guys
huh?
are good.
That's a great story.
We all remember being there though in the video story where you had like the curtain in front of the adult section that you try to sneak in just to look at the covers of the videos.
Just going in and looking was fun. I never had the courage to actually rent an adult video. I'm being serious. I never did.
No, I didn't either. I mean, I they wouldn't let us anyway, but I would always try to sneak in.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning to Buster Olney. What's up, Buster? How are you?
I'm doing great, and it's interesting you guys were talking about that with the Mets rotation, the Yankees bullpen. Here's one reason why it's different. I feel like that for the Mets, it's more critical what's going on with Carrasco than the Yankees with Britton, because the context of the two teams is so different. You know, the Yankees are in the American League, where very few teams actually worked in the offseason to get better other than the White Sox. You know, the Yankees on paper look like, you know, they stay healthy, they could wind up winning the American League East and maybe even comfortably were the Mets, you know, in the division, the best division in baseball, with all five teams being, hope for making the playoffs. It's just a very different context, reduces the Mets' margin for error.
So, Buster, let me ask you quickly, because we talked about this to start the show. I mean, we're, you know, a year from, you know, when sports – it's either today or Dave Rothenberg's birthday tomorrow that, you know, things completely shut down. But we're now at a point where you're seeing the Texas Rangers going to be at 100% capacity. What have you heard as far as how people feel about, you know, them being as aggressive with the attendance?
That they think it's crazy and they're upset. And it is a reminder, I think, what happened with the Rangers, what might happen with the Rangers. People, you know, a lot of times when something goes wrong in baseball, they just say, well, Rob Manfred, the commissioner of baseball, you know, the baseball god should step in and take care of it. No, he's essentially an employee of all these teams. And if there was actually hard central power in baseball, someone would step in and say, no, we can't do that. You can't be that aggressive because, God forbid, you know, people wind up getting sick because of the decision made by the baseball team to open up too early.
And Buster, this is only because of money, right? There's no secondary reason. This is, we lost a lot of money, and we want to try to make it up by packing as many fans into the stadium as we can.
Yeah, money and politics. Let's face it. There's a, you know, it's a different conversation there than it is here, and it is in a lot of places. And I suspect there are probably people in the Rangers front office who, even if they're a little bit kind of wince in doing this, they also probably are feeling some pressure to be like, hey, don't be wimps. Come on, let's go. It's, you know, we're on the backside of this thing. It will be interesting to see if there's some pressure within baseball among other owners for the Rangers to change. But, again, all of these teams act in their own interest in baseball.
The great Buster only joins us here on the show. So, Buster, I know it's early, you know, but I need to ask you about my Mets. So, Carrasco now dealing with the elbow. We felt like, you know, starting pitching staff was going to be one of their real strengths this season. I still believe it is because Jacob DeGrom's, you know, the best in baseball. If there was one thing you would still point to with the New York Mets that could end up tripping them up, what would that be?
The strength of the division. You know, the other day, we've been doing these interviews for Baseball Tonight with players on various teams, and the other day I was talking with some of the Phillies player, Bryce Harper and JT Realmuto, and they were just shaking their heads with amazement about how strong this division is. You know, the Braves, which a team I really still feel like is underrated. The Marlins clearly getting better. You know, the Nationals, while their defense is a lot of questions about that, their rotation is going to be a powerhouse. So, as Nick Bryce said, you know, they're going to spend, all these teams are going to spend the summer beating each other up. And while, you know, I do feel like with Carrasco, and I've seen this before, veteran pitcher, they tend to go take it slow in spring to give them a better chance to be healthy at the end of the year. And you do feel confident that the Mets will be one of the most aggressive teams leading up the trade deadline. Their context, their challenge is so much greater in that division than, say, if they were playing in the American League East.
Buster, they're so strangely put together defensively, and I still think that's a concern that a lot of people have not voiced as something that it probably should be. You look at probably McNeil at second, you know, he's not great there. And then you have Lindor at short, who's sensational. And then J.D. Davis at third, who at best is mediocre. And then maybe Dom Smith in left, which could be an adventure. And then Pilar maybe in center field, who's great. It's so weird how it's either all or nothing defensively, but I think that still has to be a major concern for the Mets, no?
It does. I think they absolutely, at some point, they need stabilization at second and third base. You know, they need McNeil to be better than what, you know, he's shown early in camp so far. They have to, I think, get better play out of third. It'll be interesting as the year goes along if their priorities change, especially on those days when Stroman is pitching. You know, because Stroman needs that defense behind him. And I really felt this way last week when Jackie Bradley Jr., who's a, you know, mediocre offensive player, but he's one of the best outfielders in baseball. When he signed for such a reasonable rate with the Milwaukee Brewers, really feel like that by the time we get to midseason, there are going to be teams, the Mets will be among them, that will look back and say, geez, why didn't we sign that guy? Because he would have absolutely helped the defense. And one thing about Dom Smith, I still think there's, and I know people on both sides, Players Association, Major League Baseball, with teams, still wonder if there'll be some 24th-hour talks on expanded playoffs and maybe a DH. So it's possible we could get there still.
Yeah, Buster, I'm still surprised that they didn't make a move for Jackie Bradley with what he would do in center field. I mean, I understand you're trying to, I mean, get Dom Smith at bats, but, I mean, defensively, they've been so bad over the last couple of years, and when you're built around your starting pitching, you would think that you put a priority on your defense. Drives me crazy. Okay, so here's my question. Here's my question because you brought it up. The DH, I don't know if... Because I have a feeling how this new CBA negotiation is going to go once the season is over. It's going to be a nightmare. I mean, is Tony Clark doing the right thing here, though, by using the DH? Like, I can understand the expanded playoffs because that's important financially to the owners. But, I mean, what would the negative be about giving in for the universal DH?
Well, they are absolutely for the universal DH. The problem is that the owners are saying, we'll give you the DH if you give us expanded playoffs. And Tony Clark, the union's response is, look, we know everyone already wants the universal DH. Why should we give up something for in return to negotiating leverage for something that we know everybody wants? And essentially, you know, effectively, I feel like that the Players Association called the owners bluff, but the owners haven't given in yet. My question is, why do, at some point, I think baseball, Major League Baseball, Rob Manfred, the owners need to step up and say, you know what? We didn't get what we wanted for that, but we know everyone wants the universal DH. Everyone's looking for increased offense. We just need to implement it because it's going to make for a more interesting brand of baseball. What I've heard from folks on MLB side, at this moment, they have no intention of doing that, which I think is cutting off your nose to spite your face.
Yeah, it wouldn't be the first time we see that in Major League Baseball. Buster Olney, of course, the Baseball Tonight podcast, joins us here on 98.7 ESPN. Let me turn my attention to the Yankees a little bit. Obviously, no Britton for an extended period of time. So who's the guy that earns the trust of Aaron Boone and becomes your eighth inning guy leading into Chapman? Or is it just, you know, any one day it could be a different guy right now?
Yeah, it's a combination of guys. Mm-hmm. Where, you know, I mean, O'Day, you saw last night, you know, he looked good. Chapman, I you know, don't know if you guys got a chance to watch last night. Boy, that splitter looks unbelievable. Like, so I think he might even be able to take on a greater responsibility. But I asked that very question of folks in the Yankees front office last night, you know, who are the young guys you feel like are going to emerge at some point? And the answer I got back was, you know, we're still early in camp. But they do feel like that between the, you know, the high volume of candidates they have for the rotation and some of the veterans that they brought in, that they will be able to fill in the gap. And let's face it, when it comes to having an issue, a problem, the best problem to have is a bullpen problem because that can be fixed during the year. In 2019, Nationals through June had the worst bullpen in baseball, and they wound up being in the dogpile winning the World Series after a couple of trades. And there will be a couple teams selling early, I think. The Giants and the Cubs are going to be very aggressive in dumping players by the time we get to June and July.
Buster only joins us here on the show. Buster, last one from me. From what you've heard from the Yankees, do they have any appetite at all to potentially move Miguel Andujar? It doesn't seem like he's got a spot to play or get him the bats that he needs. And second part of the question is, who do you think ends up making this team out of camp? I mean, they got Bruce, Dietrich. I mean, who ends up making the roster?
Wow. And it was interesting last night in watching their game, Dietrich wearing number 12. And that, because I always feel like that gives you some indication.
Yep.
Look, I do think that they're going to need left-handed balance. And obviously, for Bruce, that potentially is an advantage. The reason why, and it's been interesting to hear them talk up Andujar, I think because of the roster crunch, at some point they're going to have to make that hard choice. I do think that when they get down to it, and we'll see how the players perform in the next 2-3 weeks, they will lean toward adding left-handed hitting because they internally absolutely acknowledge that was a real problem last year.
Buster, great stuff as always. We really appreciate you. Continued success with the podcast, the Baseball Tonight podcast. And I'm sure it'll be soon before we talk to you again. Great stuff.
See you guys.
All right. That, of course, is Buster only. Good stuff. I love it.
He's the best. I'm just saying this. Next time your machine goes down, I don't care for how long it is we're keeping you off. I'm calling up Buster. I'll co-host with Buster.
You didn't have time. I think you were on for 12 seconds.
A lot to get into today. That 12 seconds has spiraled my entire show. I can't do reads right.
No. See, I think that you're looking at this the wrong way. That has really pushed us forward as a show. Having a mistake like that. I'm serious, actually. Having a mistake like that, being able to reflect on the foibles and the human interest and element of you making a mistake, that's what radio is all about. The fact that you take it so seriously, that's the real issue.
Yeah, but this is something I dealt with. What? I just got done telling you to start the show that my dad would sit down and hold his nose when I let in a bad goal. I'm crying when Kelly Clarkson sings a song. I clearly have emotional issues.
Now, I've never personally seen this level of dysfunction.
It was a very high level. If bacon grew on trees, tweets in, the sports world shut down a year ago for months, and it shut down for 20 seconds when Rick opened the show. This morning.
It is not the Wednesday that Dave hates. It is the Thursday.
Breaking down days. The Thursday. I like, not it is Thursday. It is the Thursday.
Good Thursday morning.
It is the Thursday. It's so official here.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.